18 states have been bought, stolen, or hacked by China. Yet those responsible for sounding the alarm instead kept the information secret and hidden. They did not disclose to me as president or to anyone else.
That's Donald Trump last night in his nearly half-hour address to the nation on election security. Many documents were released to the public that were formerly classified. The president says it showed tampering. It showed vulnerabilities in our election system. I'm not sure it met that threshold. Let's talk about it with Dennis Darnoy, the political strategist and founder of Dennis R. Consulting. Dennis, good morning. It's good to have you back.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Do you feel like Donald Trump proved that there was funny business going on in his speech last night?
Well, what I think he did a good job was describing the vulnerabilities that could be exploited, but I don't think that there was any proof that they were exploited. I didn't hear any evidence of altered votes or compromised machines. So at the end of the day, I think there wasn't a smoking gun that came out of it that specifically pointed to an example of the fraud he alleged.
You know, right after this, you started seeing these immediate reactions from people like Steve Bannon and Mike Lindell, who are, already, using the address to argue that the upcoming elections are essentially compromised. Dennis, as a strategist, does this kind of rhetoric actually suppress the GOP's own base by making them feel like, voting is pointless?
Yeah, I mean, that's been a question that's been raised. Obviously, the president has attacked absentee ballot voting before. And we saw in, an immediate election where fewer voters, Republican voters, used that method, where once upon a time, especially here in Michigan, Republicans had a very robust absentee ballot program. So in some ways, it compromises, their ability to compete. I think the other issue that it does, especially again here in Michigan, where we have open seats, that this certainly re-injects the 2020 election into the race for Secretary of State. And I think we've seen before when Republicans have had candidates who have run for Secretary of State and made these claims that the Michigan voters have soundly rejected them. So by reintroducing this issue into the race here in Michigan, it's certainly going to be a little bit challenging for some of the statewide candidates.
The president also focused on Michigan in one particular case out of West Michigan in Muskegon. This was ahead of the 2020 election, where fraudulent voter registration applications were submitted in Muskegon before that presidential race, and they were flagged. They were caught by the clerk there. The Michigan State Police found that. It was investigated by the state. Those fraudulent pieces of registration were never actually submitted into the voter rolls. So at the time, Michigan officials were claiming that this was a good example of our security working. It was then turned over to the FBI, but the president seemed to indicate that wasn't a close case.
Right. I mean, and that's a very accurate way of putting it. It was, 8 to 10,000 submitted applications. So when he talks about 8 to 10,000, that number is actually real. But what we saw was that there is, canvassers working for this group called GBI Strategies, which is out of Tennessee, and they dropped these applications off in Muskegon. And so it was immediately realized and flagged. It then was turned over to the FBI, who then looked into it, and zero fraudulent registrations were actually added to the rolls. So it was actually an example of where they detected the material in advance. They alerted authorities, the city clerk of Muskegon, that is. And so the attempted fraud was caught before Election Day. Furthermore, when the Attorney General, Dana Nessel, at this point, looked into it, they believe that the fraud being committed by the employees was actually against their own employer. They were trying to pad their numbers in order to get, higher pay rather than a scheme to actually corrupt the vote count. So again, it is a number that is a factually accurate number, but the reference that he cites, the president, that is not accurate in this case.
Dennis, I thought the structure of the speech was kind of different, because he talked about the inflation numbers. He promoted the Trump accounts. He in his prescription drug site, the Trump RX, and then he dived into the, you know, security warnings. Why mix those messages? I mean, if inflation and the economy are historically the strongest issues for Republicans to run on, does muddying the waters with this massive, complex fight over declassified intelligence kind of dilute some strong economic arguments?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, again, the hope or the wish to introduce other issues was say this is a major address from the president. He's focused on a number of issues, therefore, you know, talking about drops in inflation, stock market performance, et cetera, and then shifting into the integrity of America, American elections. And as we heard, you know, one of his goals, obviously, is to call on Congress and to put pressure on Republican senators to pass the Save America Act, which is, you know, something that has already passed the House but is meeting resistance among Republicans in the Senate. So, again, I think, you know, when you make a speech like this, and obviously this is a speech that's going to be more appealing to his base, Trump's base, there is a hope to then say, okay, now let's put pressure on the senators and to pass the Save Act to implement some of these things, which he argues would help, you know, protect us against some of these vulnerabilities that he then went and highlighted last night.
Dennis Starnoy, we appreciate your insight as always. Thank you. We'll talk again very soon. Have a great weekend.
Thanks. Have a wonderful weekend. Yeah,
you too.
Thank you.
No, I'm glad you asked that question because that was going to be my next question. I think what ultimately the decision made was, if you have a war in Iran going on, inflation was just going up, but it just saw a drop, the biggest drop in the last 6 years.
Right.
You have to address those things.
You have to address it.
That wasn't the bulk of what he was going to talk about.
Right.
Obviously, it wasn't.
You know,
but he needed to spend 7 or 8 minutes talking about.
Like, I know this is something that's on your mind. This is what you know. So
correct.
I'm on it, but.
But here's really why we're here.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's kind of how it felt to me.
Yeah.
Coming up on the other side, the smoke from the Canadian wildfires continue to linger. How do we protect ourselves? It's next.